Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. Talk a little bit about final strategies before the start of the season. I think it's really important to have a plan in place for your teams. And this is maybe a range of outcomes discussion. Something I think you should think about as you're entering the season is hey, here's the sort of avenues in which this thing can go. And here's sort of the plan if they go there, right? If we sort of meet these benchmarks. And when I was doing a lot of trials, one of the things that I would do is I would never know what the defendant was going to say if he testified, right? I might have a variety of things he could conceivably say or she could conceivably say. You know, I didn't do it. I wasn't there. Met the wrong guy. You know, self-defense, whatever. There's a number of different defenses in any particular case that you could see, but you never know which one they're going to pick. And so I would plan, right? And I wouldn't write out questions because that wasn't how I would, that's just not how my brain works in terms of thinking about things. But I would write out like a list of topics that I would sort of need to walk them through if they went in this way, right? So I'd have a binder, and then I'd have basically like a shot sheet of like eight different, you know, whatever, however many different defenses that I could think of. And I would just start, I would have a whole bunch of things written down about what I needed to talk to, question them about if they went this certain way, right? So if they say self-defense, you know, let's talk about, you know, their size and their, you know, their relative strength or their age, right? Or all of those things. Or if they say they weren't there, like, oh, what was your alibi? Like, you're sort of walking through all of those things. Or it was the wrong guy. Well, like, you know, don't you have these distinctive tattoos, right? All of those sorts of things. Like, I'm building out a plan, and I don't know which one I'm going to execute. But when the hand is dealt, when they deal the hand, I sort of know where I'm going to pivot. I think Dynasty is very similar, and one of the things that we do is, I think I'm really guilty of this, so maybe it's overstating this, but I'll find myself in a way of like, hey, I'm going to chase this, right? So we'll know the numbers too, right? Like, this, some of these things aren't hard, right? You'll be 2-4 with the bottom 4 points in the league. You know the answer is to pull the ripcord, right? You know that's what the right answer is. In hindsight, if I told you that, you're like, hey, this is, you know, it's time to pivot. Your odds of winning a championship are really low. It's a lot harder to do that in advance or in the live thing. And we'll tell ourselves stories, right? We'll be 2-4. We'll be bottom 3 in the league in points. But we'll be like, hey, you know, I caught bad luck here, or like, hey, it's just, you know, oh, I have this injury here, and that, you know, I'm going to benefit for a week, and now I can, I'm just a couple of weeks away, I've turned it around, and, you know, you can just convince yourself of it, right? And that's where a lot of our bad decisions are made. Like, this is the example of, you go to a casino, and you're like, all right, here's what I'm going to do. Like, I'm going to put X amount of money in it. I'm going to put $250, and it's all I'm going to play with. And then in a half an hour, you're down $250, and you're walking up to the ATM, and you're like, all right, I'm in for another $5. And then it's like, all right, I'm in for another $1,000, right? Like, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're $250 night, and you're down, you know, $1,700. You know, a couple hours later, like, you've chased, you've gone way past what your plan was, and now you're sort of in a lot worse situation. So one of the things that I would, that you, hey, like, you're not taking my credit card with me, right? Like, this is there's a lot of simple solutions to this problem. We're not taking our credit card with us, right? We're giving it to spouse, you know, friend, whatever. Like, hey, if we need it, here it is. Or we leave it in the room, we leave it in a safe. You know, we just bring our cash and our license, right? Like, we can set up safeguards to which we don't walk over to the ATM, or we make it a lot harder for ourselves to walk over to the ATM and take the money out of it to keep playing. Dynasty is very similar, right? Where we can chase, you know, good money after bad. We can sort of be down, you know, really way behind, and saying, hey, you know, look, all these things can break right for me. Sure, they can, but what's the odds of them, right? And so having a clear and sober decision tree in place before you go into your season, it'll help you clarify your decisions in season. Because right now, as you're sitting here, you'll know the right answer, right? You'll be able to, or have a better idea of the right answer. So if you're sitting here and you're saying, like, listen, this team, I think they're middle of the pack. I just think they're middle of the pack. Probably not going to get a bye. Like, I'm shooting for a playoff thing. Like, that's fine. Like, play it out. But when you're 2-4 and you're bottom three in the league in points, like, you pull the ripcord, right? That's when you start pivoting. You know, what type of long-term assets can I get out of this team? Can I trade Mike Davis for a second, right? Can I trade Mike Davis for a second plus? Can I trade a second plus Mike Davis and something else for a first, right? Those types of things. And that's just Mike Davis. This is an example based off last year, right? But it was, you know, hey, do I pivot off of Giovanni Bernard last year for a second? Pivot off of Wayne Gallman for a second? Or do I keep running these guys out here trying to get, trying to turn this thing around? Like, the right answer is to train them, right? The right answer is to move on. But it's really hard to do that in the moment. And so I think it's really important just to take, again, this doesn't have to be a long, detailed thing, but commit to it and just go through your teams. And this can take, you know, go through your team tracker. Just, you know, you should be putting waivers in this week, right? You should be making some final trade offers this week. You should be trying to, you know, package up, go from, you know, three guys to two or two to one, right? You should be, or, you know, players to picks, right? Creating roster spots, creating, you know, roster flexibility, right? Cashing out assets, right? That's all stuff we should be doing right now. But in the process of that, you should definitely just, and I can use a notebook, or I have a, you know, I've got spreadsheets and stuff, but just have a, you know, hey, this team's middle of the pack, or this team's contending, or this team's not contending. And then say, hey, here's kind of what the game plan is, right? If, you know, if 2-4, bottom three in the league, like, the sale plan is, you know, Zeke, or it's, you know, it's we're selling Brady or whoever, right? Whatever your circumstances are, that's going to be your pivot, right? Kind of identify that in advance. And that will make your decision a lot easier. And it'll make, because you've thought about it now, you're not sort of clouded by the recency bias of what's happening. You're sort of taking a broader lens approach to it. So that would be one thing that I really think you think about. You know, if I'm contending, I think my team's really good. You sort of place that in advance. And then all of a sudden you're 2-4, but you're top four in the league in points. Hey, I'm still in this thing. Like, I'm still here, right? I'm a team to be reckoned with. Like, I can, this is a team that can reel off, and I have the resume, and I've broken bad so far, but I have the resume to reel off five straight and go from, you know, 2-4 to 7-4 in a month. And now I'm a bye team. Like, you can, you know, but that's probably not going to happen if you came into the league thinking you were, like, you know, fringe contending / probably not contending. Like, it's a lot harder to make that leap as compared to what your prior is of, like, hey, this team's really good coming into the season, right? So those things will help you frame your decision. I think it's really important to do that. So, again, identifying sort of what your game plan is for the season generally, what your range of outcomes might be, and then just identify some pivot opportunities, right? Those three things. I think it will really help you, you know, think about your team and your plan, and, you know, how you might go about this. Again, it doesn't need to be a long thing, but I do like to write it down, because that way you're not playing games with your mind later on, right? You know, when October 1st hits, or when November 1st hits, and you're saying, like, hey, this team's a middling team, I kind of need these four things to break right for me, and if they don't, like, I'm in a lot of trouble, and they don't break right for you at this point, like, that should tell you sort of how to treat the rest of the season. And it's a lot easier to make that decision now than when you've got, you know, when you've got a month or two of setting lineups and, you know, going through the struggles of watching this team play and the live score updates and, you know, the wins and losses and all that. Obviously, things can change, right? But identifying kind of what your baseline is, you know, what you're thinking about now. And again, maybe some things that, hey, I need to go right for me, or like, hey, if these things go wrong, like, these are really going wrong. You know, I don't have a lot of injury depth. All those things, like, you can sort of identify those now. Again, maybe it's just three or four bullet points, but have those written down, and then that way you can sort of react when the time comes. The other thing, too, is, and I was talking about this in a group me chat, I have a team, it's a home league, and I've been in this league since, it's probably been 25 years. I think it was like 96, 97, something like that. The keeper league a couple years after, and it has gone from basically being like keep 12 to keep 7 now, and we've been on 7 for, it's probably been close to 15 years we've been on keep 7. Might even be longer than that now. It's been a long, long time it's been keep 7. And it's 16 teams, it's all this stuff. And it's really, it's really tough for me. It feels really redrafty. Like, keeping 7 is not a lot. It's 20-man rosters, so you're keeping, you know, basically a 30-year roster, but you don't have, like, it's really tough to play base rates. It's really tough to do all this because you only have a year. And so you can sort of make individual judgments, but you have a really hard time to sort of, you know, to really grind out an edge, because, you know, as the rosters get smaller, as the assets get smaller, like, there's a lot more randomness, there's a lot less edge that you can create. You know, if you've got a 5% edge and seven roster spots, like, it's not that big. If you've got a 5% edge on all your roster spots and it's 25 man, like, that's a totally different story, right? You're ahead a couple of guys at that point. So all that's to say, like, I'm in this league that has a really different structure. It's not dynasty, it's more keeper. 16 teams, there's no buys in the playoffs. Eight teams make the playoffs, so ton of randomness, ton of variance, all that stuff. And I've been sort of middle of the pack. But coming into the season, basically my core guys have been Deshaun Watson, Akers, Fournette, Mike Evans, Brandon Cooks as well, Evan Ingram. So familiar names, but if healthy, that's a decent core in a 16-team league. But I've been sort of middle of the pack. I would say I've been above average probably the last, like, 5 years. I've got, you know, I've been above average, but top, I don't know, six or so, between probably, like, top four and top eight in terms of points scored, but no real, like, major success. Maybe a couple semifinals appearances and that sort of thing, but just haven't gotten there. Had a couple bad breaks. You know, I've had the best team in the league, and week 14 injuries, and it's over. You know, like, you're the favorite to win the championship, and these things just go wrong in week 14, and all of a sudden you're out. So it's kind of been the story. Like, I could write a tragic comedy about it. And there's a lot of material there. So, and of course, you know, you've got to declare keepers and stuff. And so before the keeper deadline, Akers blows out his ankle. You know, Watson's got all of his stuff. And I'm already looking at, and Evan Ingram's hurt. So I'm already looking at this and I'm like, man, I'm kind of in a lot of trouble here. I know what the answer is. It's like, I'm doing a lot of work for 2022 edition and thinking about how to get assets, and doing a lot of work at the, you know, looking at basketball and stuff like that. And how do you get elite assets? And a lot of times it's having shots up at the top of the lottery. And in this particular scenario, it's like a bifurcated, basically the worst four teams in the league playing a round robin tournament to get to pick first through fourth. And then it's the same thing goes with the teams 5 through 8, right? So basically you're trying to, and it's funky rules in terms of who gets where, and it's potential points, really weird. So it's a ton of randomness in terms of all of that, how the non-playoff teams picks are allotted. But I really took the approach of like, hey, maybe this is actually a godsend for me. Like, I'm without Watson, you know, without Akers, you know, with Evan Engram hurt, like we're not getting there, right? It's just not going to happen. So what's, but I can't cut these guys, right? I've got these good, I've got decent assets. I can't just cut them. So let's keep them and let's use this year as a year to, tank's not the right word, but this is going to be a rebuilding year. And so I said, okay, well, let's, how might we do that? And so instantly I turned around and I got future picks for Akers. I got a future first. And this is really letting your team, letting your circumstances dictate what you're going to do. And thinking about like, hey, I don't want to just cut Watson. Like, that's not the right play. The right play is to like, let's stomach this for a little while. Like, we can see, and if long-term it doesn't work out, like it doesn't work out, but let's use it to my advantage right now. If I don't have Watson, I'm not going to be very good. And so what do I want to do? Well, I want to shed, you know, I want to benefit from not being very good. I need a high pick and let's shed some experience at the same time. We'll, you know, let's transition to some picks and see if we can get a couple shots up at the top of the draft. And so in the process of doing that, you know, I traded Brandon Cooks for a future first. And then I was actually able to turn around and flip again. So it's really tough with the keeper stuff, right? These things can be lopsided. There's a ton of inefficiencies there. You just have to go find them. And so I lined up a deal of giving a first, giving Brandon Cooks for a first, and at the same time hunted out a different deal where I could get T. Higgins for like a fifth. And I just, it was just doing the legwork, and I was able to know that there was going to be an inefficiency there just because the market's not liquid, right? And there's these things where you're before the keeper deadline, not everyone's talking to everyone at 16 teams. Like, if you're willing to work, you can find the inefficiencies. So able to hunt one of those out, right? And so again, I'm just trying to grab as many upside shots as I can. How do I keep doing that? So I trade Akers for the first. I trade Cooks for the first. And then I kick back a fifth for T. Higgins. And they're not that far away, probably in the grand scheme of things. And then, I sort of doubled down on the fact that, like, hey, I'm not going to be good this year. It's fine. Like, let's assure ourselves of that. And so I traded Mike Evans for Michael Thomas in a first. Right, like, you take this asset and you be good this year. I will take back your broken down wide receiver one. I'll eat the 8 to 10, 12 weeks where he's going to struggle. I don't care that he's going to struggle. And give me a future first. I don't think you're that good anyways. And we'll, like, again, here we go. That's also an example, like in this type of league, when if you can get a shot at a future first and you're basically doing it between wide receivers, it's a great, like, that's a great inefficiency to do it with. So I've hunted out that as well. I also hunted out, again, I don't care what happens this year, right? I'm looking for longer term assets. I picked sixth in the draft. I don't care what happens in the middle rounds. It's an enormous drop off from the first round to the second and third round in terms of odds of hitting, in terms of in terms of keepers. Like, it's a 50-50 shot for a keeper in round one. It's like a 12% shot in round two, even lower than that thereafter. Like, it's a massive difference. First round picks are, especially ones up at the top of the board, it's a massive difference. As you can imagine, for, you know, it's the same as rookie drafts, but you even get a little bit more juice there because of the keeper stuff. And so I picked six this year. So Dobbins wasn't kept, and obviously the rookies aren't kept either. So I'm probably going to be facing a situation where I'm either going to get Dobbins or Etienne. And again, that's not what I probably typically do in this league, because you're sort of on a short roster crunch. It's really hard to take those long-term bets, but taking one of those long-term bets right now is actually optimized for me, because, you know, I can sort of, I know I'm not going to be good this year. And by taking a long-term bet there, I kind of assure myself I'm going to have a high pick. And I think I'm going to have a high pick. And at this point, I've got four first round picks next year, and I got three the year after. If I'm not good, like, there's a couple of those picks that can really be high as well. You know, my goal is to basically pick four times in the top six in the next 2 years. Like, that's going to be the goal. And that's, you know, again, how many more shots can I take? We're going to find out, right? We're going to try and pick 8 to 10 times in the first round in the next 2 years and see how big of an edge we can get. Because the other thing, again, this is all circumstances dictating what you do, right? It doesn't really matter the construct, but I think this is a good example of, like, don't sink good money after bad, right? Just let it play out, right? Like, take your medicine. It's fine. And this is different than maybe Dynasty. Like, you have, if you have a couple of these injuries in Dynasty, like, it might not be debilitating. For me, it's debilitating because I've only got seven assets I can keep. And if three of them are hurt or unavailable to me, I'm in a hard, and I was, you know, maybe above average coming in, but now I'm really not. It's going to be really tough for me to compete. Let's just use that to our advantage. We're going to take a high pick next year. We'll get it. I'm going to be a top four pick most likely. And, you know, let's see if I can get a couple of those, and, you know, we'll aid people. The other thing too, is I was able to, in trade negotiations, I know that someone wants Mac Jones really bad. And so his goal is to get him in the second round, and he'd probably do whatever it took to get another second round pick. I actually picked right in front of him, and he slipped and told me this. So my plan was just to sit and pick Mac Jones right in front of him and then turn around and flip him for a future first and get some additional assets. Because I knew I could probably get that. He ultimately comes back and gives me, you know, a couple of picks for, he basically wants to do a whole pick swap. Long story short, I extract two firsts from him in 2022 and 2023. Again, taking the long-term bet, I don't think this pick is going to be very good. And so I think they can be really high. So that's just an example of, like, I know, like, this is the plan already in advance, and everything went poorly. I didn't have to wait and find out what was going to happen. Like, I could see the calamity coming. And listen, if it ends up being better, like, that's great. It's not going to be, but if it does, like, that's fine. And I can sort of, we'll play that out in advance, but I've basically assured myself that that's not going to happen. And as a result, like, now I'm the first one to sort of be dipping into the future asset pool. And when you sort of pivot, right, again, knowing what's coming and having a plan in place and doing it soberly, like, you can really take advantage. So now I've got seven first rounders over the next 2 years. I can really extract from the league. And again, now I've got assets to trade. You know, one of the things I probably will end up doing is I need to get out of keeping a tight end, because I'm going to have hopefully a glut of running backs that I'm going to need to roster, and I'm going to have to play tight end differently because I'm not going to have that roster spot. So I'm going to use that to potentially pivot off of Ingram. I know that I'm probably not going to roster three wide receivers because, again, I'm going to have this backfill of running backs that are coming in. So I'm going to try and only roster two, three at the absolute most in terms of keepers. And again, that's all a pivot that I'm going to do over the next couple of years. So I sort of know that that's in my mind. So I figured I'd use that as an example of, like, sort of thinking about the longer term, sort of how we need to pivot. And, you know, I've already pivoted, but having those plans in place will allow you to sort of think about it long term and be able to strike while the iron's hot. So, again, hunting out those inefficiencies and look for them in advance, like, try and think about what they might be before they happen and before everyone else realizes them. And that'll help you get an edge, especially right now. So think about those things before the season starts, and you'll be crushing it in strategic team building as the season unfolds. All right, well, that'll do it for the final off-season strategy session. I'll have a podcast later this week in terms of, like, what the in-season schedule is going to be. So be on the lookout for that. Got a couple other pieces that we're going to have here before the season I'm really excited about. But until next time, continue embracing the variance. We will talk again very soon.